Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God.
It's time for the Holy Manna radio broadcast with Brother Byron Chesney, pastor at Highland Baptist Church. For the next few minutes, Brother Byron will be bringing you some truths from God's holy word. So have your Bible ready and follow along with Brother Byron.
The truth is, the devil only has as much power over you as you allow him to have. And let me tell you this, if you give the devil an inch, he will take a mile. If you let the devil get his foot in your doorway, he'll bust your door down, he'll sit on your couch, and he'll put his feet on your coffee table, and he'll eat the food from your table. You let him put that foot in the door, and he'll break that door down. He'll take as much from you as you allow him to have. We got to resist him. He's a powerful enemy. He's our adversary. Perhaps you think this morning you're so strong. You're so much of a holy Christian. Brother Byron, I've been a Christian for 70 years. I've got this all worked out. You're the next to fall. Don't you ever think you've got something over the devil. The only thing you got over the devil is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all you got over him. We got to resist him. You remember Simon Peter? Oh, Simon Peter, Jesus talking to him over in Luke chapter 22 and verse 31. This is what the Lord said to Peter. He said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. Satan, you better believe he desires to have you. He couldn't take Peter from Jesus, and he knows that, but he wanted Peter. He wanted his testimony is what he wanted. He wanted him to be controlled by Satan is what Satan wanted. And the Lord told him, he said, listen, he wants to sift you. Have you ever sifted anything? You throw it in there and you sift it and all comes out as fine powder. That's what Satan wants to do. He wants to sift you till you're nothing but fine powder that he can use. And boy, he'll rub it all over himself and use you up. Peter learned that lesson the hard way. In fact, he did allow Satan to sift him. He allowed Satan to take over, and he learned a hard lesson. We all know how he denied Christ three different times, how he went out and wept because of it. Listen, 1 Peter 5, 8 through 10, Peter, after he learned his lesson, he then tries to help us. He wants for us to realize the urgency here and the truth that Satan wants to oppose you. And so he tells us in 1 Peter 5, 8 through 10, he said, listen, be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, there it is again, that adversary, the devil, your opposer, the one that opposes you, the one that hates you, as a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. But listen to what Peter said after he learned. He said, whom resist, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you've suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. We see it again right there. What did Peter tell us to do? He says to resist. Peter didn't say, listen, Christians, you need to get up and you need to fight the devil. You need to get up and punch him right in the nose. No, that's not what Peter said. But Peter said, resist him. You see, the devil's not going to come to you with a pair of boxing gloves, you know, like this, and you get to whack at him. No, he's going to come to you as somebody sweet. He's going to whisper in your ear. He's going to convince you that what he wants you to do is the best thing for you. And when you give in, when you allow him to start that sifting process, and you give in to him, you submit yourself to him, you don't resist him, boy, he's got you right where he wants you. And Peter says, listen, you need to be sober about this. Don't be like some drunk that don't know what he did the day before. That's what that's implying. Be sober, not a drunk. You know how the drunk is. They'll go out on a Friday night and drink themselves until they pass out. And then the next day they wake up and they don't know what they did, how they got home. I used to work with a man that did that every Friday night. He'd go out to the bars, get drunk, and somehow made it home. It's a wonder he's not killed anybody by now. Didn't have a clue what he'd done. He's drunk. Peter says, listen here, Christian, you need to be sober. You better be very aware of what's going on. When the devil comes, you better have all your senses about you. And he said, what does he say? He said, be vigilant. So it's not something that we need to just wait for that moment in time that's going to happen. Well, maybe someday it'll happen. No, it means all the time. Be ready for him. Because the devil's going to hit you when you least suspect it. I mean, when you think you're super Christian, when you think you've got it all figured out and worked out and everything's going good, you're reading your Bible, you're praying, you're doing work for the Lord. I mean, you're right where you think you ought to be. And the next thing you know, before you know it, Satan's over there and boy, he's done reeled you. He's got you over here. He's got the bait dangling in front of you. And next thing you know, you're going, oh, oh, oh. But you thought you were okay. That's why Peter says, listen, you better be vigilant. He's going to come around. He's like a roaring lion. You know, the lion, they call him the king of the jungle. Why? He's got the loudest roar. I mean, you come around that guy. I mean, that guy can come walking through quietly through the jungle. And I mean, you never know he's coming. And then next thing you know, roar! They say you can hear a lion roar from 2 miles away. That's what the devil is. Boy, he'll come up slightly upon you. You won't even see him coming. Next thing you know, he's got that mouth open roaring. Next thing you know, he's going to swallow you whole. Just like an old lion. But we're to resist the devil. I like what James tells us if we resist. It says the devil will flee from us. You see that? He said they'll flee from you. Not just walk away and sulk away and say, well, I'll be back, you dirty dog. No, he doesn't do that. The Bible says he runs. He flees from us. That means, why does he run from us when we resist him? Because he knows he can't use us. If we're resisting him, he can't do what he wants us to do. He can't make us do what he wants us to do. We got to resist him. What did the Lord Jesus do when he was tempted in the wilderness 40 days and 40 nights? He was up there and Satan was tempting him with all the things, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, all three of these things, the same things he tempts us with. And the Lord resisted him. And how did he resist him? He resisted him by God's word. He kept quoting God's word back to him. And he resisted the devil. What did the devil do? The devil left him. Couldn't do anything with him. Because he wouldn't allow him to. He resisted. Jesus resisted the devil. Jesus did not take the devil by the throat and sling him down on the ground and stomp him. He didn't fight him. He resisted him. And he left him. That's what we must do, friends. We must resist the devil. And he will flee from you. Look at verse 8 back in our text in James chapter 4. He says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Why is James calling us double-minded? Because, friends, we live like a double-minded man, a double-minded woman. We live like a double-minded person a lot of times. The Christian that's a Christian but lives like a non-Christian is a double-minded Christian. And you know what the Bible says? It says we're unstable in all of our ways when we're like that. We're unstable. Why are we unstable? Because we don't know what in the world we're doing. We're dumber than a rock. That's why. But the Bible says to do this, we've got to do what? Draw nigh to God. Have you ever drew nigh to something? You know, we draw nigh to those that we love. You draw nigh to that woman that you love. Women, you draw nigh to that man that you love. Mothers, you draw nigh to those children that you love. What's the best feeling in the world? When you pull them in and you put your arms around them, you hold them close. That's drawing nigh. What's this picture James is trying to tell us? James says to draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. If you ever try to draw nigh to somebody and they don't want anything to do with you, and they're going like this, and you're going like this, and they're pulling back, that's the opposite there. But this picture here that James gives us of us drawing nigh to God, God loves you, and he wants the best for you, and he wants to have fellowship with you. So naturally, if you want to draw nigh to him, you know what he's going to do? Yeah, right in here. Right in here where you belong. I can't even tell you right now the picture that I get when I think about drawing nigh to God and the love that he has, knowing that he is all love. Everything about God is love, love that we can't comprehend. But to imagine having your arms and him having his arms around you, there's nothing greater than that in all the world. That's what James is trying to say. Draw nigh to God. And that's what we have to do to be in fellowship with God, is to draw nigh to him. And listen, as long as you're drawing nigh to other things, you can't draw nigh to God. You know, a lot of people fill their lives up full of junk, full of sinful things. And when you keep doing that, you can't get God out of there because you filled up all this with junk. Oh, he's down in here. The Holy Spirit's down in here. But you want to pile all this other junk and garbage in place there. And so you can't have that fellowship. You can't draw nigh. You're pushing him further away. Listen, if there's any time that we need to be drawn nigh to God, it's the time we live in today. I mean, right now, if there's anyone that we need to be close to, it's the Lord. I'm reminded of old Enoch. You remember Enoch in the Bible? The Bible says this in Genesis 5 and 24. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. You talk about drawing nigh to God. He drew so nigh to God that God just snatched him on up. Wouldn't be to God that we would all be that close to God. Brother Byron, he was walking down the road one day and then he just suddenly gone. He disappeared. What happened to him? He was drawn nigh to God. He's walking with God. I think God just took him with him. But boy, I tell you, that'd be something right there. But too many Christians today are drawing nigh to everything else but God. That's why we're double-minded. We think that we know we're Christians, but we think we can live any way we want to, and we'll draw nigh to other stuff. Listen, you can't do that. People today are drawing nigh to television. People watch more television than they read the Bible. That's just facts right there, friends. If you're drawing more nigh to the TV than you are God's Word, then you're not drawing nigh to God. Listen, people today are drawing nigh to movies. They're drawing nigh to sports. That's all I've heard this past week, these sports. We were talking to a guy yesterday, and he asked me and Mary if we like sports. And I was talking about NASCAR. Oh, yeah, I like NASCAR. I've got time to watch it after I study and stuff. If it's on, I'll watch it. Don't like anything else? No, not really. not interested in it. Listen, I'm not knocking you if you like sports. It's fine. But I want you to know if sports are coming between you and God, you need to get that thing further away from you and you need to get closer to God. Because you allow sports to fill up your life before you do God. That's not submitting yourself to God. That's not drawing nigh to God. Listen, people are drawing nigh to all manner of things. They're drawing nigh to Facebook these days. You better believe that. Facebook. I tell you, more people are drawing nigh to Facebook than they are God's book. That's the truth right there. Listen, sharing religious memes on Facebook and liking religious posts and asking people to pray for you is fine if you want to do that, but that doesn't take the place of drawing nigh to God. Now, Facebook can be used for good things, and most of my friends use it for good. I try to use it for good. I post messages and songs and try to encourage people on there, but I want you to know there's more garbage on there than anything, and people are drawing nigh to that. Listen, we need to draw nigh to God. Drawing nigh to God means that we have a personal relationship with Him, that we talk to Him, we read His Word, and we tell others about Him. That's the way we draw nigh to God. And if you ever wondered, how can I draw nigher to God? Well, that's how. Read what He wrote in His Word and communicate with Him. Get down and pray to Him. And you'll get closer to God. Draw nigh to Him. And you want to tell other people about Him. Isn't that how things work? The person that you drew nigh to when you fell in love, didn't you want to go tell everybody else about that person? I'm in love with her. I did. I want everybody to know I'm in love. I want to get married right now. Yeah. That's the way it was. And I want to draw nigh to her. And I want to tell people that. Why are we not like that with the Lord? We love Him. We sing about Him all the time. We get up here saying, oh, how I love Jesus and about the love of God and the love of this and love that and all this stuff. And we keep it inside the building. How many of us today are going to go out somewhere and visit somewhere or go to a restaurant or go to a place to shop and you'll never mention God the whole time you're gone? But do you love Him? Boy, you sure love Him in church. Look at the next thing there. James adds, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. To have fellowship with God, we must repent of our sins and allow Him to cleanse us from our unrighteousness. It's a purifying process. These first century Christians, these Jews that James is writing to, they knew all about the purification process. They knew what he meant when he talked about cleansing their hands. And mentally, in their eyes, when James said that, they saw themselves cleansing themselves, purifying, going through the purification. Listen, friends, if we are to draw nigh to God, we must cleanse ourselves. We must purify ourselves. We must allow Jesus to cleanse us from within. Psalm 139, David, as he was praying there, he says, cleanse me, search me, see if there be any wicked way in me. And listen, that's what we need to do today. That's how we cleanse ourselves and purify ourselves.
We pray that this has been a blessing to you. If you feel led to help us with the cost of the broadcast, our address is Highland Baptist Church, 6014 Bayley Road, Knoxville, Tennessee, 37924. Until next time, may the Lord richly bless you.